Okay, it's 7 o'clock and I'm calling the meeting to order. This is San Leandro City Council. Today is Monday, June 16th. Like I said, it's 7 p.m. Vice Mayor, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? You stand if you're able to.
In the flag. Right.
Madam Clerk, would you please take the roll?
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Aguilar,
Present.
Councilmember Azevedo, Councilmember Bolt,
Present.
Councilmember Simon is absent, Councilmember Viveros Walton,
Present.
Vice Mayor Bowen, Mayor Gonzalez.
Present. So, Council, today we've got the appointment and swearing in of a new youth member to the Police Community Police Review Board under Item 10A. I'd like to move this up to Section 4 recognitions in the interest of time. Looking down Council Roll to see if there are any exceptions. Seeing none, we will make that adjustment to our agenda. The City of San Leandro conducts orderly meetings to fulfill its mandate. Discriminatory statements or conduct that would potentially violate the Federal Civil Rights Act of 1964 and/or the California Fair Employment and Housing Act, California Penal Code Sections 403 or 415 are per se disruptive to meeting and will not be tolerated. Please see the City Council Handbook and City Council Meeting Rules of Decorum for more information. And Madam Clerk, your announcement, please.
Thank you, Mayor. If you would like to make a public comment during the meeting, you can do so in person or via Zoom. If you are present at the meeting, please complete a speaker card and submit it to the city clerk before the item is presented. If you wish to participate in public comment via Zoom, you can use the raise your hand tool when the item is called. During the public comment session, speakers will be invited to speak and will have a set time to share their comments. A countdown timer will appear for their convenience, and when the time is up, the microphone will be muted. All raised hands outside of public comment will be lowered to avoid confusion. Once public comment is opened, hands may be raised. There will be a 30-minute window for public comments, which will take place under Item 7, Public Comments, as per the published agenda. After this time is up, the council will proceed with the rest of the meeting's agenda. If you have not had the opportunity to speak during the initial 30-minute period, there will be another chance to do so after Item 12, City Council Reports. Thank you.
So for our third item on the agenda, the report on closed session action taken, there was no closed session today. So we'll move on to item 10A, which was moved into this section on recognitions. And Madam Clerk, I believe you've got a very brief statement to make here.
For which item? Number four?
10A under number four.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Tonight we have a motion before you to appoint Casey Guo as ex officio youth member to the Community Police Review Board.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion on this item. So I've got Councilmember Viveros Walton,
So moved.
Councilmember Bowen, or Vice Mayor Bowen.
Second that.
Okay, so I've got a motion by Councilmember Viveros Walton, a second by Vice Mayor. For this item, do we need any further additional public comments, seeing as we've already gone through this further prior? Seeing no need to do that, let's move forward with our vote, please.
All votes are in. Motion passes. Unanimous. 601 with Councilmember Simon absent.
So it'd be nice to have our swearing in. Yes, if you can come on up.
If you want to stand right here. And then I'm going to have you hold this. And then you're going to raise your hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear
I do solemnly swear.
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States
and the Constitution of the State of California
and the Constitution of the State of California
against all enemies, foreign and domestic,
against all enemies, foreign and domestic,
that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
that I will bear true faith and allegiance to this name.
And to the Constitution of the United States
And to the Constitution of the United States
and to the Constitution of the State of California,
and to the Constitution of the State of California
that I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
A purpose or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
Discharge the duties in which I am about to enter.
Congratulations.
So thank you for your service. We appreciate you stepping up in the community. With that being said, let's move on to item number 5, our consent calendar. Are there any items that a council member would like to pull? Councilmember Rivera-Walton.
Thank you. I'd like to pull item 5A.
Anything else, Councilmember Bolt?
Item 5B.
Okay, anything else?
I'd like to move the consent calendar with the exceptions of item 5A and 5B.
So I've got a motion by Councilmember Aguilar to move the consent calendar absent items 5A and 5B. And I'll second that. At this point in time, we will take public comment on our consent calendar.
Mr. Mayor, we have one public comment in person and we have one hand up online.
Please proceed in person.
John Minot.
Hi, good evening, council members and member and San Leandrans. I am now John Minot Schwartz, by the way. I wanted to speak to the housing element, the updated report on the city's housing goals, which is on the consent calendar. Obviously, this is just a report, but I wanted to make sure that council members and citizens take a look at it, because it does show pretty clearly that we are greatly underproducing on housing. Our target that the regional council gave us over 8 years was a little under 4,000, so we need to be building about 500 a year. We are building less than 100, and there is no income level at which we are building adequately. Obviously, this is not broadly down to the city, in that there are outside reasons that housing construction has dropped. However, the city is involved very intimately in the zoning, planning, and design process that creates the environment in which all of these projects are developed. The city has a lot of actions it can take to make housing and being more welcoming to people easier in this city. And I think that the council will have before it in the next year or two concrete proposals to make development standards friendlier, including regarding fee waivers for affordable housing, other fee reform, parking reform. And I hope that these get taken seriously, because it is effectively structural reform. We cannot have the housing industry work the way it has. It needs to get more plentiful and more routine and have less discretion involved. Otherwise, the city will continue to get more and more unaffordable and unwelcoming to newcomers, immigrants, existing residents. For existing residents, we can pass renter protections and should, but we need to do more. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now go online.
Please.
Doug Spaulding, you may unmute yourself. Douglas Spaulding. Doug Spaulding.
Good evening. My connection is a bit spotty. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, very good. Well, I share the same concern as my friend John Schwartz. I'm thankful for the work of our good planning department. They do an excellent job. I noted in the budget for the coming fiscal year, which is nearly $1.2 million, $906,000 is appropriate for capital improvement projects. And it looked like mainly that's going into accessibility, right? Making sure that curbs are not barriers and whatnot. That's about 75% of the budget. And I'm trying to figure out, how does that jibe with the top priority of our CDBG proposal, which is affordable housing? It doesn't seem to connect. Another 15% of this budget goes to kind of overhead, which that's reasonable. And then less than that goes to public services. And it looks like the public services, more than $100,000 are invested in the young and the old, but nothing for like unhoused folks, which, you know, is another big need in our city and would seem to connect back to the top priority of affordable housing. You know, for low income people, affordable is not really affordable if we're looking at the units available at Central Callan. I also wanted to address item 5B, and I'm very thankful for the vote you just took. I think it was good to override the staff recommendations and to go forward with the Manor Library construction. But I'm not a big contractor, so maybe I missed it. But I'm looking to see where's the deadline for completion of the project? Is that in the contract? And where are the protections for cost overruns? Because that's something that we consistently run into, and I also don't see that there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, there is no more public
We'll
comment.
close public comment and come back to council. We have a motion for items 5C through 5I. So the entire consent calendar, absent A and B. Seeing no further discussion, please vote.
All votes are in. Motion passes unanimous, 601.
Okay, so let's move to our first item that was pulled, 5A. And if I do I recall correctly, that was Council Marie Votis Walton. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good evening. I just have a couple of questions in terms of the changes from the previous organizations that were funded through CDBG. And were there any changes into the proposed organizations? And then what's the process for organizations to be eligible, to be kind of eligible to even be considered for this pot of money?
Sure. So we can start with the eligibility. In the fall, we opened up a competitive NOFA, a notice of funding availability for the city's CAP program, which is the Community Assistance Program, a general fund program administered by Human Services. And then on the community development side, we're administering the federal community development block grant funding, which is before you. And agencies apply through an online portal, and they're considered for both funding sources. And CDBG is a highly regulated funding source, and so there's a more narrow pool of agencies that can manage the funds and are interested in the funds. So we reviewed the agencies from last year that were all of them were high performing and had met the goals. And so we recommended funding for the three continuing agencies. And a fourth agency declined, a fourth agency, Davis Street, who received CDBG funds from last year, they declined federal funding and preferred the CAP program this year.
Got it. Thank you for that clarification. When I read this over the weekend, and I don't remember where it lives, if it's on the budget or on this city manager, or to the chair to address the question where it may go. During the carryover funds, we had allocated them to kind of if CDBG funding had. If we were in peril of losing it, we kind of set aside a percentage of the carryover funds. I can't find it in this report. Is that in the budget report?
We have some information in the staff report on that as well that
It is on there. I couldn't find
So would
it.
you like, or you, if you have the information to address the question,
Sure.
please proceed.
Sure. So on the second page, we talk about the general fund reserve, how the city council provided support for backfilling any loss of CDBG funds. So that was from March 17th. So in addition to the city council supporting CDBG, we also had an increase in general fund amount allocated to the CAP program. And so with Davis Street moving over to CAP funds, we actually didn't need to backfill anything because we funded three agencies instead of four, and we were able to get them whole with this allocation. It was pretty close this year to last year. What HUD gave the city a pretty close amount. I think we were within 30,000 of last year. So it wasn't as dramatic as we were anticipating.
Okay. And to have a conversation about those funds being continued to be earmarked towards social safety net services like the organizations that apply through CAP and through CDBG, is this the appropriate venue or should we wait for the budgeting process?
Hold on just a second. And bring that to city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, council members. Just so I understand, are you talking about the 20% that was already allocated?
No, the amount that we had held in contingency in case the administration went away with CDBG, so we wouldn't be able to backfill that. Just wondering if this is the appropriate conversation to have it because it was mentioned in the report, or is it through the budgeting process?
I want to make sure that we're all on the same page because we had had a discussion here where we reached a compromise, and the compromise went something like this. We have surplus funds at the end of the year. Right, to the extent that we have a surplus, and this might have been for 2024, right? So for the 2024 fiscal year, for that money that was left over, 50% went directly to the unfunded liability. 30% was to be allocated to infrastructure roads, 20% for the purpose that you're describing. So for that specific money, and I'm not sure if that's...
For, answer that question. So that specific money was by action of the council was for this specific purpose. Because we don't need that money for this purpose, as our housing manager has described, what would happen is at the end of the current fiscal year we're in, which ends in 2 weeks, whatever money we have expensed as a totality would then come back in front of council for direction of what to do with that money.
Got it. Unless my colleagues have any other questions, I would like to move forward. I'd like to put a motion to pass item 5A.
Okay, we've got a motion from Councilmember Votis Walton for 5A, the adoption of 5A. Vice Mayor?
I will second that.
We've got a second from Councilmember Bowen. Looking down, seeing no further discussion, please vote.
All votes are in. Motion passes 6-0-1. With Councilmember Simon absent.
At this point in time, I'll go to 5B, and I believe it was Councilmember Bolt that had pulled this item.
Yes, to the chair. I have to recuse myself on this item, so I needed to pull it to do that.
Okay, so at this point in time, if you would just exit, and we'll see if there's any need for additional discussion. If not, we'll move. We'll take a motion and vote. Hold on just a second. And just so that the record is clear, he's recusing himself because of a real property interest, namely proximity to the project in question. So setting that aside, I've got Councilmember Acevedo. I think you are next in queue.
Yes, I would like to move this forward. Motion to adopt a resolution to approve and authorize the city manager to award a construction contract to Giant Construction Incorporated.
Thank you. And I've got Councilmember Aguilar next.
I'll second.
I've got a motion by Councilmember Acevedo, a second with Councilmember Aguilar. Seeing no further discussion, please vote.
All votes are in. Motion passes 5-1-1 with Councilmember Bolt recused and Councilmember Simon absent.
Okay, so at this point in time, we'll move to item number 6. Do we have any reports?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Good evening, community members. I just wanted to have a few announcements. First, I want to thank the community, our dedicated volunteers, and city staff for making this year's Cherry Festival and Pride Flag Raising Ceremony an incredible success. The day began with a vibrant parade through our downtown, led by the mayor, city council, and many wonderful community groups. The celebration continued with the ceremonial raising of the Pride Flag at the downtown library, and an estimated 30,000 attendees joined the festivities, enjoying an outstanding array of food, entertainment, and family-friendly fun. Lastly, a big thank you to our Recreation and Parks Department and the San Leandro Improvement Association for their tireless work in the organizing of the parade and festival. Your efforts brought our community together in the best of ways. Next, I'm excited to share that the San Leandro Family Aquatic Center is officially reopened. We had our grand opening this past Saturday, June 14th. We began the day with a small ribbon cutting ceremony and facility tour. And by the afternoon, the pool was open for public swimming. To celebrate this long-awaited reopening and thank the community for its patience, The city waived all admission fees for the day. The response was incredible, with over 500 community members coming out to swim on opening day. It was a wonderful reminder of how much the space means for our residents, families, youth, and neighbors of all ages. They've enjoyed an upgraded facility and a fun, safe to play and cool off. We're looking forward to a great summer ahead at the Aquatic Center. And lastly, the city is hosting its first comedy festival this weekend. One weekend, three great shows, all free admission. Each show has five different comedians. It kicks off Friday, June 20th at the historical Bow Theater at 7 p.m., then picks up again Saturday, June 21st in the main library parking lot at 6 p.m. And finally, Saturday night, the last show begins at 8:30 p.m. at 21st Amendment Brewery. Go to sanleandro.org/comedyfest for more information. And Mayor, that concludes my announcement.
Thank you. Lots of wonderful things happening, right? Lots of wonderful things happening. So thank you, staff, and all the volunteers. Let's come to public comment now. So this is the time for the public to comment on items that are not on our agenda, but are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the council. So how many cards do we have tonight?
Thank you, Mayor. We have two cards in person and one hand up online.
Okay, why don't we start online?
Okay.
So if you want to speak online, please raise your hand, because when we are done, if we don't have any other hands, we'll close online public comment and come in person. Please proceed.
Okay, thank you. Douglas Spaulding, you may unmute yourself.
Is that 30 minutes or 30 seconds?
Oh, it's you get 2 minutes. 30 minutes is for the general public, the general comment.
You can't fault me for trying. Speaking of wonderful events, I want to give a shout out and congratulate everyone on the amazing No Kings rally in San Leandro, to pair with all the hundreds of events across the country. It was really a fabulous turnout, maybe the largest turnout for a political event, at least in recent memory. Lots of fabulous homemade signs, a great diversity of people in San Leandro. And I think it goes to show that, you know, like, fundamentally, we are united when it comes to matters of democracy. And I think we should, you know, always keep that in mind, despite whatever differences may come about. I also wanted to piggyback on the city manager's highlighting the opening at the Family Aquatic Center. My son was very excited to work the event as a lifeguard. He had not, in his time as a lifeguard, had never been there because of the years it's closed. So he had a fabulous time and would echo what the city manager said. So thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. There is no more public comment online, so we will go in person.
We will close public comment online. Now we will open public comment in person.
Diana Ramirez.
To complain about everything. I'm just kidding. I'm Diana Ramirez. I'm with Senator Grayson's office. I wanted to introduce myself to let you know that our office, we are opening an office here in San Leandro. I'm not sure if you're all familiar, and I'm talking to those that are online. With redistricting, we opened up an office here because we were never, this district changed. So I'm just wanting to introduce myself again, Diana Ramirez, and we'll be having an office here opening up soon, and you will all be invited to come visit me. It'll be a tiny office, but Kelly has my information and my phone number, so I hope to meet with all of you soon, as well as with the senator. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Lee Thomas.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. I stand before you today as a concerned resident and former council member regarding the federal investigation of Councilmember Azevedo, who's a target for conspiracies to commit bribery, bribery concerning programs receiving federal funds, and making false statements in a federal investigation. The San Leandro City Council should take immediate action by removing Councilmember Azevedo from all intergovernmental agencies and hold a formal hearing to assess if he should be censured. San Leandro residents cannot and should not allow an elected official of this governmental body represent them, making decisions for them on outside agencies. When you are a target of a federal investigation, it's no secret that the city will probably ask residents to pass a bond measure, but you cannot ask residents to make that commitment morally, make a moral decision for a bond if you have individuals of your own government body making poor ethical decisions that erodes the public's trust. Councilmember Azevedo is innocent until proven guilty. We'll let the judicial system take care of that. Because if the FBI is concerned, then you should be concerned. We should all be concerned. I thank you for your service. I thank you for spending time away from your families to make the city what it's we would all like it to be, a peaceful and pleasant place to live. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, we have no more public comment.
At this point in time, we'll close public comment and move to item number 8, which is our public hearing. So I believe we're beginning with a staff presentation. And we've got Finance Director Nicole Gonzalez, who will lead that.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council. The item before you this evening is a public hearing and adoption of the fiscal year 25-26 and 26-27 proposed biennial budget. I'm Nicole Gonzalez, Finance Director. This is just a chart that gives a little bit of a background on where we've been and where we are this evening. The budget process does kick off in around November and December of 2024. We held a number of community engagement forums, a city manager town hall, two finance committee meetings, and a presentation to the City Council. With a focus as we prepared and developed the fiscal years 26-27 and 25-26 biennial budget, we had a focus on fiscal sustainability. There are a number of factors that contribute, like I said in previous presentations, to the development of our budget presentation, which include increase in costs across the organization, not only in personnel, but costs of services and goods, as well as geopolitical climates and economic uncertainties. This is a table provides a citywide budget, so all funds, including operating and capital. In row 3, you will see the general fund expenditures for fiscal year 25-26 is $156.1 million. Expenditures in fiscal year 26-27 for the general fund is 160.8. When you look at all funds, so general fund, special revenue, internal service funds, enterprise, capital, debt, and our other funds, all funds total for fiscal year 25-26 is $272.9 million. In 26 and 27, the total expenditure is $265.1 million. This is a reminder, the city does prepare a long-term financial forecast. It is actually a 10-year forecast that the city uses to model both revenue and expenditures. This is a 5-year look ahead. We are focused this evening on the two columns C and D, which are fiscal years 25-26 and 26 and 27. The city is meeting its reserve balance policy for fiscal year 2025-26, as you can see on line 20 at 20%. We are not meeting it at 15.1. However, the city is continuing to do a lot of work to make sure that we are meeting those reserve balance policy set by the City Council. We do want to shift a little bit and highlight some of the really great work and things that are happening here in the community and some of the things that will take place over the next 2 years. We are very excited about the opening of Memorial Park, which is the first all-abilities park in the city of San Leandro. So it's really exciting for the city as well as the community. We continue to put a high focus on hiring efforts for public safety, specifically for police. We are launching the rent registry program, continuing funding for the alternative response unit. We're continuing to expand and enhance recreation programming. We're launching a new ERP system. And as City Manager Cameron mentioned, we had the reopening of the San Leandro Family Aquatic Center, and this will be the first full summer that it will be open over the last several years. One slide that's a little new this evening is that the city is required to adopt an annual appropriation limit, which essentially puts a limit on the the GAN limit is a provision in the state of California's constitution that places a limit on the amount of tax revenue that local agencies can spend each year. So this year, the city's GAN limit is $341 million. The total appropriation limit for the city is $126.8 million, which is $214.3 million below what our limit is. So we are not close to reaching that limit. In the event that an agency or the state does reach that limit, over the course of 2 years, they are required to either return the funds to taxpayers or invest in education. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions. The two actions this evening before you is to conduct a public hearing and then consider the adoption of the proposed fiscal year 25-26 and fiscal year 26-27 biennial budget.
Okay, so prior to opening up the public hearing, and I know that we have talked about this at some other meetings, but if there are any final questions, clarifications, we can do that right here. After the clarification questions, I'm going to open the public hearing. We'll hear from the public. I'll close the public hearing and then come back to for deliberation discussions, any last minute things that we want to consider. Are there any questions about the information that's been presented? Okay, seeing no questions, what I'm going to do at this point in time, it's 7:32, and I am opening the public hearing on our budget.
Mr. Mayor, we have no speaker cards in person, and we have one hand, two, three hands up online.
Okay, if you would please proceed, we will take input for our public hearing online at this time.
Alvaro Ramos, you may unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I wanted to say that the proposed cuts to library employees, operating hours, audiovisual print books, electronic materials, and program supplies are extreme. Our libraries are the most valuable institutions of this city. They provide sanctuary and resources to the people who need them. Libraries contribute to the local economy, education, childcare, public safety, access to technology, and much more. Cuts to investment mean missed opportunities and austerity to this community. I think these cuts will hurt the city and not save money. You should vote no on any budget that cuts libraries. End comment.
Thank you. Melissa, you may unmute yourself.
Hi there.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So hello. I was one of the few residents who attended the budget forum, including the town hall last week, and I recognize the person preceding me raising the concern, and I second that. As I stated in the last council meeting, we need to follow a timely schedule of budget engagement, proposal, and presentation so that we do not have 2 weeks left and the pressure to approve by basically tonight. I have said that the calendar was the city's friend, and it came true. The city initially scheduled the town hall to be on April 29th and then on May 8th. So 2 years ago and 4 years ago, we followed similar dates, but not this year. I look for the mayor and council to tone down any kudos, but acknowledge we cannot allow delays again under your watch. Every city has reasons to say the budget is challenging each year. San Leandro is not unique. Not every city waits until the last council meeting to approve the budget. Like other prior comments, I advocate for a council, a community budget task force. I don't want to be part of this, but I see a benefit in having one per district to represent. In the previous council task force meeting task force, there were meetings where the public were able to listen to everything. So for those of you who did not live through the task force, among some of the recommendations were a financial system update and having performance measures. There are a dozen more. We need to see closure for all those. You know how to reach me and some of my fellow task members, and I look forward to having closure for those recommendations and a new task force for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Douglas Spaulding, you may unmute yourself.
Thank you very much. I did not manage to make any of the budget engagement events, in part owing to the, the musical chairs nature of some of the rescheduling and whatnot. I agree with the previous speaker that the budget task force was a very good process. I remember the mayor played a vital role in that, as well as other members of our community. And I would like to see us go back to a little bit more. It's not that the budget process isn't in great, fantastic detail, but it's not so transparent to the public. And I think the public actually can assist in the task of prioritizing things. We do have a structural deficit. We all know it. And yet, I would say the budget for human services is quite thin. It doesn't meet the needs of our city. And as was noted earlier tonight, right, we're not spending enough on housing. We've done some incredible work on housing, but the need is still outstanding. We need, and we need to invest more dollars in that. So where does the money come from? I will continue to beat the drum slowly. I believe that we overspend in our police department. I don't believe the I think our police department does an excellent job, but I think spending more money on more equipment and still more officers and more cameras and whatnot does not make the city safer. There's a host of criminology data to show that's the case. Unfortunately, we don't really study that information, not in the Community Police Review Board, and I don't know, but I would say that probably you don't do it on the council either. So good luck. Good luck with the budget over the next 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, there is no more public comment.
So at 7:37, I'll close the public comment portion of our hearing, or close the public hearing. At this point in time, I'll come back to council members for discussion of the budget that has been presented. And or motion. We'll begin with Councilmember Viveros Walton.
Thank you. I think if members of the public were to take away one thing from our budget is that this is a budget that takes us into next fiscal year, and our the subsequent fiscal year is one that does not look well at all. And we are going to be faced with some very difficult decisions around our safety net services, how we're funding them. We're going to have to look at ways of all of the contracts that we're looking at, ensuring that we maintain costs at where they are or where they should be. But I think this particular year is not as painful as it could have been. We are still not meeting, we are still not meeting income with expenditures, which means that we're having to pull money from where we need to balance the budget. But as you saw in the slide, next fiscal year is going to be very difficult for our city staff, for us, for the community, and we're facing a lot of uncertainty. And I'm deeply, deeply concerned about what that will look like. So, with that, I'd like to make a motion to
adopt the budget, item 8A, fiscal years 2025, 2026. Do I need to read the whole thing? Or can I just say item 8A?
Item 8A suffices.
Okay. It's a paragraph. So I'd like to make a motion to move item 8A.
I'm going to come to Councilmember Bolt next.
Yes, I'm prepared to second it, but I believe everything that Councilmember Viveros Walton just said. Next year is going to be a lot tougher than this past year was. As far as cuts go, they're going to go deeper and wider. But I want to speak to us now because we had a few comments about the task force that the community was involved in. What is our process for that for next year? Are we going to look to do something like that? I mean, it seems to me that it's the more brains you get in a room, it can be better. And if there are ways for us to do this, I don't see why we wouldn't do it now that if there's a year out and we know this is going to be tough, maybe we rethink the process we did this time. Not saying there was anything wrong, but bring more people into the room to discuss this or just have more community outreach around it and not wait to the last possible city council meeting to approve it. I don't know if that's a, yeah, it's a question to city manager, I guess, at this point.
So I'll begin with the creation of a potential budget advisory task force is not on the agenda. We really can't discuss it. So the way I'm interpreting what you're saying is that it's something that you would like for this body to consider.
Sooner than later.
Before we get to next year.
Yes, and
so just to be clear about process, then you know, we'd work if it's the will of the council, we'd put it on the priority list, which we revisit in a couple of months. We said every 6 months we would revisit, and so that's how we will address that. So be sure to raise it when we do that revisiting.
Okay, no, that's fair.
Does that make sense?
And with 6 months. In time, well, that's plenty of time to get the community involved around it. So, yeah, I'm good with that. Thank you. I will be sure to raise it then.
Thank you.
And I second that motion.
Okay. I'm glad that we went from I would to I do. So I appreciate that clarification. At this point in time, I will go to Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to make a few comments. Just want to give a kudos out again to the Finance Committee and staff. I've been on finance in the past years, and I'm glad that I was a part of this difficult process as much as you all had to be. But one of the things that I do want to say, and we talked about at the last meeting, and public commenters have mentioned as well, I am really disappointed that we are going to be taking cuts to the library and some of our human service programming in, I think, particularly significant ways. And I know that staff and is committed to finding creative solutions, but I really do just want to emphasize how important it is for us to be able to provide those services. And having three kids in the schools and growing up in the libraries and knowing how important that is to so many different communities in the city, I think there is an outsized impact of the city that is not measured the same way. And along those lines, I also want to emphasize and offer some direction going forward. I know that the cuts are difficult and they're going to be difficult going forward. And so I would like us to clarify exactly how, when we create or define our priorities at the beginning of the year, how that scaffolds down to each of the different departments and those performance measures that we've seen in the budget report, how the KPIs actually reflect that. I am seeing a disconnect in that in terms of what we're cutting and what we're measuring against, so that when we do make these decisions, it's very clear that by cutting X, it's impacting Y a particular way, and do we really want to make that decision? And then it's incredibly important for us as a council as well, making these decisions, to understand the financial impacts on the city when we make the decisions that we do make. And I am appreciating that the reports are in
increasingly including information about the financial impacts, but I would like it to be explicit as possible so that we understand exactly what we what we're asking for and how that affects the budget, not just at large, but in more detail, because I think it's really important for us to remember how it makes real impact every single time we make a decision.
Okay, thank you. At this point in time, right before voting on the motion, I would like to offer two quick thoughts. We are certainly out there exploring how we get our fair share of the Measure C money, which will be money from Alameda County with respect to childcare. So that's one type of social service that we are actively working with County Supervisor Tam, and I'm in dialogue with other county supervisors just to make sure that we're getting full access to that. And the same goes true for Measure V. So this is the money that was collected, voted by the voters, approved by the voters, and has been collected for a number of years specifically to address housing and homelessness issues. In December, the Board of Supervisors adopted a resolution saying that they would spend approximately 70% of that money, or $300+ million, to allocate for homelessness sorts of programs. And so it's very important that we stay focused on making sure that we as a city get our fair share of that money, and that will keep going as the tax is collected over a number of years. I think there are 5 years left in that tax before it sunsets. Measure W, I said V, correct? My apologies, and thank you for the correction. I like a very clear record. Okay, one more thing from Council Murray Votis Walton.
Thank you. I just wanted to elevate a comment that I made at the previous meeting when we were discussing the budget, and that's creating a policy around the $5 million emergency fund. Just in terms of process, is that something that I have to submit as an item? I forget the number. Is it 14 or 15?
I'll come to city manager on that, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councilman Rivera-Swalson, for the question. No, because that will be coming throughout the year through the Finance Committee, and then through the Council, we'll be bringing that. We also will bring mid-year update and mid-cycle update anyway.
Okay. Just for context for some of the folks that weren't able to listen in at the last meeting, the city has two pots of money. One is the 20% contingency money that, you know, we keep in case of emergencies. And we also have an additional $5 million that's for emergencies. But what I am proposing is that we discuss as a body some the policy on how to use those $5 million and what constitutes an emergency, creating definitions and parameters and boundaries so that we're able to act quickly and be able to utilize those funds should they need to be available without having a discussion with a situation in front of us and not having the guardrails in place in order for us to make a decision. So appreciate the time and thanks for that clarification.
At this point in time, we have a motion by Councilmember Viveros Walton with a second by Councilmember Bolt to move this item 8A, forward. Please vote.
All votes are in. Motion passes 6-0-1 with Councilmember Simon absent.
We have no presentations today, so we'll move past number 9. We'll move to item number 10, which is our action item. Our first item, since we have moved 10A already, our address 10A will be 10B. And this involves the introduction and adoption of an ordinance to establish by district elections of council members pursuant to Election Code 10010. We have had this presentation multiple times. So what I'd like to do at this point in time is take public comment on this item, then come back for any additional discussion. I think this will be our fourth time that we hear this item.
Mr. Mayor, we have one hand up online and one comment in person.
If you would begin online.
Okay, we will now go online. Doug Spaulding, you may unmute yourself.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to repeat, two things I've said before. One, I think it's a missed opportunity not to reevaluate the district boundaries, even though they were drawn rather recently. Things, are dynamic in San Leandro, and I think it's worth looking to see whether, you know, the districts are balanced, not merely in terms of numbers of voters, but, you know, all kinds of demographics. And the second thing is, I wish the council would vote to make it so. I know that you're looking at the city's charter and saying, well, we can't really do that as a city council. It has to go to a vote. And I'm wondering whether you have gotten a second opinion, a second legal opinion. There's certainly a lot of case law in California around the California Voting Rights Act. I don't believe San Leandro is so unique. There must be other municipalities that have faced similar circumstances. And I'm wishing something that's impossible, but I just can't quite believe that we need to spend some millions of dollars on a special election for this. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now go in person.
And we are, to be clear, we are closing online public comment, coming in person.
John Minot Schwartz.
Evening again. I will keep it brief, avoid repeating myself. I'm glad this is moving forward. I think it will improve the city, reduce barriers to entry for people seeking office, make it easier to campaign with less money. I do continue to think that the move to a citywide election is a little dubious, but I know that's moving forward. I will just say that I think this will pass. I think the voters will approve of it. And that I think it will be fine. I think there is still some small chance that for some unpredictable reason it fails, and that would put the city in a very difficult position where it could find itself ordered by a court to make the change anyway, and it could find itself subject to great financial liability, in particular for the costs of the rival party, the plaintiff, which I believe are very easy to recover under this law. So I hope this scenario is being evaluated and that people with a public platform think carefully about how they message out how they think citizens should vote on this election with that in mind. But it is positive, and I think it is going to be a positive change. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, there is no more public comment.
So we'll close public comment and come back to council members for discussion and or motion. Councilmember Rivera-Swalton.
I also wanted to elevate a comment at our last hearing, which I did ask the question about whether we would be able to just pass it as a resolution and implement, and the city attorney clarified that that was not an option. So we have been exploring less costly options to, you know, the question has been asked and answered, and I think with that being said, I'd like to make a motion to move item 10B.
I'm going to count. We have a motion by Councilmember Rivera-Swalton to move item 10B. I'm coming to Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question. I think it might be to the city clerk. Can you clarify how the districts are drawn for the city of San Leandro?
Yes. In 2022, after the previous census, the IT department and our geospatial specialist, they took all of the census data and they redid the district lines to make sure each of the districts had very similar approximate population. So everything is similar in keeping with what the code requires.
And can you clarify what you mean by what the code requires? What determines that as the process for trying to determine district lines?
Yeah, so our city charter section 230 says that district boundaries shall approximate election precinct boundaries established by the Alameda County Board of Supervisors, and that each district shall contain as nearly as possible equal number of residents. Each district shall consist of geographically compact territory, and each district shall consist of geographically contiguous territory. So they take that information and they take the census data in order to set the lines.
And with census data being updated every 10 years, what is our cadence for redistricting? When is the last, prior to the last redistricting, when was the last time we did that?
10 years prior.
Okay, so we would then do it again in 2030.
Correct. It actually, we have to wait for the data to come out. So it's around 2031 or 2032.
Okay, thank you so much. I have a question to, I think, the city attorney around the resolution, and appreciate Council Rivers Walton elevating her question from last time. Is a resolution necessary for us to, the reason I'm asking is we are, as a council, we're making a commitment to do so, but fundamentally that we have to take it to the voters, and that is the only way that we can change to a vote by district election. Is that correct?
So I'll answer. One clarification is that we're passing an ordinance this evening. It's an uncodified ordinance that is required by the agreement, the stipulation that we had presented to the council that had been sunshined several months ago before we started this process. It's part of the process that was entered into this agreement with claimant or plaintiff's, prospective plaintiff's counsel, prospective plaintiff and counsel, regarding the city taking advantage of the safe harbor provision under the law, under the state law. So the ordinance passage essentially perfects and clarifies for everyone that we have taken advantage of the safe harbor provision, and that we can expect fee bills to be paid up to $30,000, but no more, to come very shortly after tonight. Then we proceed through the process of amending the charter, and the only way to amend the San Leandro Charter by the charter itself is by a vote of the electorate. And so this ordinance cannot amend the charter, and which is why we need to go to a charter vote.
Understood. Thank you so much. I would like to second the motion and make one last comment that while, and I think we'll probably end up talking about this many times over the next year, certainly before it's on the ballot, but while we are voted, you know, it will make, I think, the process harder and easier in lots of different ways for us to be able to run and hopefully make it more diverse and bring more people to into the process. But I think I can speak for myself and for the council that while we're up here representing our particular districts, you know, we how we get here might change, but we still are always advocating for all of the residents in the city of San Leandro. And then I think that will continue and that will always be centered.
I'm going to go to Councilmember Bolt next.
Yes, my goal was to second that, but I do want to follow up on Vice Mayor Bowen's comment and questions. While it is legally correct that we have to wait and let the city decide, we could go out of bounds as a council and decide to do this, but then take the repercussions later. We could make a motion as a council to just do this, and we would be wrong. What we have to do is wait. So your answer when Vice Mayor Bowen asked, could we do it? I know you're legally saying, hey, per the charter, you guys need to wait and go through the process and let the community.
So we're going to break that into two pieces, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
First part is the charter itself. The charter can only be amended by the voters. That's just what the charter says, how it can be amended, right? It's like the Constitution of the United States can only be amended in a certain way. So I think that part is like unequivocal. But I think I'm going to try to focus your question there on the ordinance piece of this.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying what we could do as a council is take a vote and change it and then be in trouble. We could do that, but we don't want to do that.
Well,
so I want to be clear that the information being given back to us is like, hey, do this in the space that you guys are going to stay legal, but you can do what you want.
We can always do what we want, but I want to be really clear about something, though, and then I'm going to come to you, because we can do anything that we want, mm-hmm. but the question is, would it be a legally binding change? So I'm not talking about getting sued. I'm just saying, is it a lawful action? right? Because we can do anything we want. But would it be a legally binding change if we just said, hey, we as a council are amending the charter? Is that fair? Fair conversation?
Yeah, that's fair. But I think the answer is still the same. Like, hey, you guys don't do this. But in fact, we could.
So you can certainly take the action. Would it be legally binding? I believe that there are arguments, strong arguments, and I'll make that my opinion here, that it would not be legally effective. What you would do if you were to pass this ordinance to amend the charter, it would not be legally effective and be subject to challenge, because only the charter can say how it can be amended. Notwithstanding what may happen, what a state law may say, the preeminence of our charter, there are strong arguments that it even is stronger in some cases than state law in that respect, because it deals with municipal affairs. But yes, to answer your question specifically, the council has ultimate power to make a decision, regardless of what my advice may be to you.
Thank you. So in the only reason why I'm saying this and doing it this way is because I believe everybody on this council wishes we could take the vote tonight, make it go away, save the $1 million it's going to cost us in the election, because I believe the community wants it as well, as been said. But we're handcuffed to a sense that we can't do that. Even though we want to and we would probably go that way, it is not an option for us because we would put ourselves at peril. That's the only reason I went down that path. Thank you.
So do we have any other questions or comments before voting? Seeing none, I'm going to just make a very quick comment that I think that paramount to me, and I've said this before, I think that it's really important that we always maintain a citywide perspective. My biggest concern about this adoption is that individual council members will lose that citywide perspective. And we have seen in a number of cities where that has happened. And so I would just ask that by whatever form of oral history that we carry forward and by written records, that we try to carry that admonishment forward, because we are here as fiduciaries of this city. We are looking out for the entire city and for the future of the city. And we should not get lost in individual districts. And the entire premise for this was that we have problems in our voting process right now. And there is no statistical evidence that was presented by anyone that this council is not diverse. And so I don't like the premise of how we got here, and I'm very concerned about that consequence. But with that being said, I think we are probably unanimous in saying, let's make this change. So with that, let's vote.
Councilmember Vivero-Swalton. All votes are in. Motion passes 6-0-1 with Councilmember Simon absent.
At this point in time, we are going to take item 10C. And again, we had a long presentation and discussion before. And so looking down Councilor Roll, is there an interest in rehearing the presentation? Because if there's not, I'm just going to say let's waive the presentation and go straight to public comment on this item. Seeing no interest in hearing the presentation again, let's move to public comment.
Mr. Mayor, there is no public comment on this item.
So I'll close public comment. If there's no further discussion, I will take a motion. I'm happy to take discussion, though. I don't have a card yet? Okay, we can do this. No, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council members, city staff, thank you very much. Good evening. Thank you for considering this item before you. And allowing NUG to expand its business in San Leandro. San Leandro holds a special place in my heart. I was born and raised in Alameda, but my father was a businessman here in San Leandro. I have very fond memories, childhood memories of being here in San Leandro, going to Emo Villas for ribs, playing golf at the Marina Golf Course, and going back to school shopping at Bayfair Mall. Now, many decades later, I still have a connection to San Leandro. I still frequent the local bars and restaurants, still play golf at the Marina Golf Course, and I located my businesses, Nug's flagship retail store here in San Leandro, in this great city. I'm very proud of that. And tonight I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to grow my business even further in this great city. But really, enough about me, because this isn't about me. What's in front of you tonight is fundamentally much bigger and about more. First, it's about improving access to affordable, high-quality cannabis products. And in doing so, you'll help stabilize this wild industry that we have going on here in California. Secondly, it is about jobs. Please look behind me. You're looking at the Nug family. You're looking at staff members, managers, bud tenders, the frontline employees from four of our Bay Area stores here from Alameda, San Leandro, El Cerrito, and Oakland. These people really are the lifeblood of Nug. I love them very much, and I'm grateful for their hard work and their dedication to this great company. Third, your vote is about stabilizing, if not increasing, the support that Nug gives to our community partner. And
thank you. Your time is up.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is, if there's no discussion, I'd like to have a motion, please. Councilmember Aguilar.
I don't have any. I'd just like to move the item.
That's right.
I'd like to move the item.
Move the item. So I have a motion from Council Aguilar on to move item 10C. Councilmember Rivas Walton.
Second.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, please vote. Did you? Oh, I thought when you were saying like this, that meant. Okay, you got something to say. Let's go.
Thank you. Had a lot of questions about this because the last time it came up, I was on the opposite side. And so I'll explain myself again because I think it's prudent. While this Nug family we have here is very diverse, the ownerships and the arguments that were placed before us at the last time were not diverse. And amazingly so, they all look like me, middle-aged white men, arguing over who's going to get the next license here in the city. So I stand with my original statements. It's not against Nug. It's not against the owners of Nug. It's me standing in who I am, in my truths, and calling out the process that we had here in our city. I don't disagree that Nug is a good community partner, works well in the community, and, dare I say, a great contributor to our tax base here. And I think that plays into a lot of the decisions we make, obviously. But I'm not staying true to myself if I don't stand with my values and want a better process. We complain about process from a distance, and equity and inclusion, and I don't feel we got there with this. And if I don't say something now, then I don't believe it will go to rules, and I don't believe it'll come back. Dare I say I'm the only Brownie Mary Democrat on this council across the East Bay. And a lot of people probably don't even know what that is. But that means something when it comes to cannabis. And I'm going to be the one who's voting no. Because it's more about the process and the way we went through it. And I'm trying to hold us accountable to what we say we want to be. So again, that's just who I am. And how I'm viewing this.
I'll begin by apologizing. I thought you were saying that was the second, so my apologies. Anything else that anyone wants to offer? Okay, seeing none, I'll offer my quick comments that I agree with Councilmember Bolt. But I do think that this was not an ideal process. I think it put us in an awkward situation. I don't like how we got to this point. I am going to be supporting this, consistent with how I voted last time. But I do think that it's something that we do need to address, and I commend you for your courage in stating in a very plain spoken way that how we ended up here was not ideal, and that we need a better way. So thank you for that. With that, I will call the vote.
Member Viveros-Walton. All votes are in. Motion passes 5-1-1 with Councilmember Bolt voting no, and Councilmember Simon.
One quick thing. I'm going to come to City Manager because I just want to make sure that there's nothing left hanging out there. Okay, so City Manager, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted for the community and the council to know that the discussion on the number of licenses and the map, which restricts where we're not cannabis can be sold in the city, will be on the June 30th Rules Committee agenda. It's our Deputy City Manager, Eric Engelbart, who is sitting here, has already got a presentation ready to go. Work has been done, and it is on the agenda for that day.
Yeah, that being said, we're moving to item 10D. So this involves something that we can't waive a presentation on because this is kind of a, although we've talked about this topic, this involves our salary schedule, because by law, there are certain elements that must be presented verbally in an open meeting. We're going to take care of that. So we do have human resources analyst, Yana Taran. Did I say that right? Say it for me, please.
Yana Taran,
thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. The action item before you seeks approval to amend the citywide master salary schedule. The amendment reflects previously approved salary adjustments negotiated through existing memorandum of understanding and employment agreement for the city manager and police chief, effective July 1st, 2025. Although this increases were already approved, this action is necessary to ensure compliance with California Code of Regulations 570.5, which mandates public posting of current salary schedule. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So do we have any council questions before taking public comment on this item? Seeing none, let's take public comment on the item.
Mr. Mayor, we have no public comment.
So I will close public comment and come back to council for further discussion and or a motion. Yeah, I'll start there you go, Councilmember Bolt.
I make a motion to pass.
To pass item 10D, correct?
Yes.
And then Councilmember Aguilar?
I will second.
We've got a motion by Councilmember Bolt with a second from Councilmember Aguilar to adopt. Let me get the right words here, to adopt a resolution to amend the citywide master salary schedule resulting in no fiscal impact. So with seeing no further discussion, please vote.
All votes are in, motion passes 6-0-1 with Councilmember Simon absent.
Okay, do we have any item 11s that have been submitted to you? So none have been submitted. So item number 12, this is an opportunity for City Council reports, announcements, items of community interest, and the like. There are none? Zero? Nothing? Nada? Okay. So with that being said, I've got maybe three quick statements. The first one is, again, thank you for the Cherry Festival. I thought it was awesome, fantastic, amazing. City staff was there from the earliest parts of the morning until the last hours of darkness. I was just very impressed by the level of commitment, and similarly for our volunteers. We had many, many, many volunteers at all hours of the day. I also want to commend the city of San Leandro for coming out for the United for Democracy rally. We had people stretched all the way from down Parrot Street coming up to Root Park. There was a lot of people present. It's all positive. And that's to me what was so amazing about it. There was like zero negativity. It was all about conveying a positive message about being united in support of democracy. So I was very grateful. No violence, no problems. So thank you. Then I'm going to close by reading I've got two people. I apologize, I didn't see you earlier. I think it was empty earlier, but I'm going to come to you. I'm going to stop what I'm saying so that I can end with this other statement. Councilmember Aguilar.
Thank you, Mayor. On Thursday, June 12th, I attended the Pride Month webinar, Actions Cities Can Take to Support Your LGBTQ Community, hosted by NLC. And we had Salt Lake City talk about what they've been doing, and they also discussed the four flags that they adopted, which includes the LGBTQ community. And I attended the Cherry Festival, and we had a great flag raising ceremony on Saturday the 7th with most of us present and our county members and assembly office folks. It was great to see a lot of the folks present at the flag raising, and it's Pride Month. So happy Pride, everybody. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, especially for supporting the Pride event for so many years. So thank you for that. Councilmember Acevedo, please.
Yes, I attended East Bay Dischargers Authority meeting earlier today. It was an operation and maintenance meeting, and we went over the different projects for 2025, 2026. We're going to be upgrading a flow meter upgrade at the Marina Dechlorer, and there's different projects coming up.
Okay, thank you. Any other reports, announcements, community interest? Councilmember or Vice Mayor Bowen, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I wasn't sure if this had already been announced at the last meeting, but I think it is worthwhile to mention again, especially considering that really successful No Kings gathering this last weekend. I think so many of the things that are happening at the national level impact us really personally, but even in the last week, there's an executive order that has Laos on the travel ban. So as a Lao refugee that, you know, feels incredibly personal, and obviously with Chinese visa, a student visa is also being revoked, and so many of the things that are happening to our immigrant community, I do just want to uplift the resources that the city of San Leandro has put online for those that are undocumented, and also immigrants that are here in many forms and fashions. And so just for the community to know that there are resources out there. And I'm hopeful to share some resources for the NHPI community that are not on our website yet, but would meet cultural and language needs for the community. I also just want to mention that I attended the Stop Waste meeting last week, and we went over the Environmental Leadership Awards, and I want to encourage organizations in San Leandro to reach out to me and reach out to Stop Waste so that we can highlight all the great work that you're doing for next year's award. And then today was a really wonderful meeting for the East Bay Division of the California League of Cities. We had our legislative discussion and went over many of the bills that were discussed and committees that met last week. And it was really nice to be able to hear from the district directors from the offices of Wicks, Irrigine, Wahab, Grayson, Calpadon, Lee, Avila, Ferris, and Bonta. And so it was really, really wonderful to get an overview of so many of the things that each of these state legislators and senators are doing in the city, and for us to be connected in a lot of different ways, and for council members to be able to uplift the work that they're doing.
Okay, and then so I will wrap up with a statement from the mayors of Alameda County. So that statement is as follows. As mayors of the 14 cities of Alameda County, one of the most diverse regions in the nation, we stand united with our residents in cultivating environments where all community members can live, work, and play without fear or retaliation. Many of our families and those that we serve began their American journey as immigrants. That experience and the values that we've built together remind us that strength comes from unity, from understanding, and from compassion, not from fear or from mistrust. We strive to reduce barriers between neighbors, all of whom are pursuing happiness and a better life for their families. We, as the mayors, reaffirm our sworn oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of California, and our commitment to protect the dignity, rights, and safety of every member of our community. We are concerned with any use of force in our communities. History has shown that aggressive tactics increase tension rather than provide solution. Free speech and peaceful protest are cornerstones of our democracy, and we strongly encourage all who choose to exercise these rights to do so nonviolently. Above all, we urge every eligible resident to register and vote. You can register at vote.gov. Because participating in our democracy and embracing the ethos of We the People is the foundation of our nation's promise. So to our residents, stay safe, bear witness, and know your rights. And above all, please do so peacefully. As mayors, we are proud to serve in a country defined not by hate, but by dignity, compassion, and justice for all. I will tell you, I spent a good chunk of Saturday working with mayors because, as you can imagine, getting people all the way from Berkeley to Livermore and the nature of the folks that they represent and their individual passions in those cities, and to be able to craft language that brings people together, really was a time-consuming effort, but it's so powerful to be able to have a united front among so many mayors, to be on point together at a time where we've got division being sown in our land. And that's why, for me, ultimately, the rally on Saturday, some people called it No Kings, but I know the leaders here in San Leandro were very purposeful. They avoided the negative and they went with a positive. It was called a United for Democracy rally. So with that said, it is 8:22 and we are adjourned.